When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
He is the winningest fighter in UFC history, and I'm sure we're going to have this same conversation about 2 months' time when we get ready for UFC 300. But before we get there, he's got another fight booked. January 13th, it's always my pleasure to speak to the great Jim Effing Miller. Jim, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. Just wrapped up a day of training, feeling good, ready to go.
So we spoke after your last fight in the knockout, and the conversation has never stopped. Anytime you do an interview, the conversation eventually leads to UFC 300. But you told me back then, even after a 23-second knockout, you said, I'm not interested in just sitting and waiting. I think you told me, like, bad things tend to happen when I'm not fighting, when I'm not getting ready for a fight. Can I imagine there was never a doubt you were going to fight before UFC 300?
Yeah, definitely. I never wanted to sit and wait. April 13th, it would be 10 and a half months, between my fight in June and then to UFC 300. And that's too long of a layoff, especially at this age, I just turned 40, and like time matters, so with each day that goes by, it's like the end of my career comes closer. I'd rather be in the mix, in the gym, working out, getting prepared for fights and fighting. And I asked to fight before the end of the year. I wanted to fight November, maybe early December, but that ended up not happening. So here we are into 2024, and I got Gabriel Benitez.
There's a reason why we know what your nickname is when Bruce Buffer announced it, but of course your real nickname is Jim Effing Miller, thanks to Joe Silva back in the day. When the UFC calls, you answer. That's been your moniker throughout your entire career. Was there any disappointment, though, that the call didn't come until January? Because the timing is, obviously, there's a risk, right? Like, I know how much it would mean to you to fight at 300. It's basically 3 months later. It's literally exactly 3 months later. I'm assuming, like, in a perfect world, you would have fought October, November, just to give yourself a little more time. Was there any disappointment the call didn't come until January?
Yeah, a little bit. One of my goals is to fight locally before I hang them up. One more opportunity for my fans and family and everybody that's around here in the Northeast to come to one of my fights. And there was the MSG card, which is local enough. Listen, if I had the opportunity to fight whenever I wanted, I would already have probably 60 fights in the UFC. Like, there have been a few of these like 6, 7, 8, 9 month layoffs that they weren't up to me. There have been a few that were where I was, doing physical therapy, rehabbing injuries and stuff like that. But a majority of them have not been my decision. I want to fight. I like to fight. I like being in camp. It is hectic right now. My kids are getting older. We got boys in wrestling. We got one daughter in basketball, another in dance. There's just constantly things going on. So it doesn't make it easier, but, for me, it's like at this point, it's like, yeah, bad things happen when I'm not in training camp, you know, like I could still hurt myself just as bad, literally bending over, you know, been there, done that. so like, yeah, like, I'd rather be preparing to fight somebody. Yeah, cause like, that's what I live to do.
Yeah. You don't write the script for how the UFC is going to operate, but when you saw the schedule for 2024 and you saw they're going to Atlantic City on March 30th and then going to UFC 300 on April 13th, are you sitting there thinking to yourself, are you freaking kidding me right now? Because, like, that would be another one. Like, that would be a natural fit. But obviously, you know, we've all talked about the goal is UFC 300. Are you sitting there thinking, are you freaking kidding me? You're going to Atlantic City 2 weeks before UFC 300?
Yeah, it's ironic the way that happens, you know? But... listen, like at this point, you know, 300 is I think it's important. I've been talking about it for a few years. You know, when I originally brought it up, you know, this was like probably 4 years ago. I wasn't certain where I would be today. So I feel like I'm in a better place than I had anticipated I would be. So like I was bringing it up to be like, hey, you know, I almost was going to retire at 200. So might as well retire at 300, but, that's not the plans anymore. So, like I said, it's important, but if they wanted to give me the main event of Atlantic City, then, you know, like, hey, sure, let's do it.
Yeah.
Cause there'll be another one after that. So, you know, I'm not planning on hanging them up, just yet.
So 300, I think I'm pretty sure we've had this conversation before. Just to be clear, 300 is not the last one. Even if everything goes well, you beat Gabriel Benitez, you fight at 300. 300 is still not the last one. That is not the plan.
No, that's not the plan. That's not the plan. But it's all, you know, I am comfortable talking about it and saying, because I was so close, right? I was preparing for UFC 196, just in agony and barely able to train, and I was like, I can't do this anymore, let me just get to, like, might as well get to 200, you know, fight on both, that'd be great, retire then. And that was like, you know, I was diagnosed with Lyme disease 3 days prior to 196, and you know, was able to get through that. So I've already looked retirement in the eye. I've already like decided to do it. So it's easy for me to talk about. I know that not very many of my peers are willing to talk about it. Not many, you know, other professional athletes are willing to talk about it. But since I was so close to it happening, and fortunately it was something that was what was driving me to make that decision, was something that was out of my control, but also fixable. You know, I got a handle on Lyme, and I know that it's like things could happen at any moment, you know. And like I said, I hurt myself a little over a year ago, bending over in the kitchen to pick up a little piece of a wrapper off the floor that one of my kids had dropped, and I put a decent tear in my patellar tendon. It's like this could happen at any time. You know, I could have a devastating injury at any time. So like one that's going to lead me to a year, 18 months of recovery. And I don't know if I have that in me at 40. So I'm playing it by ear. Where I sit right here today, UFC 300 is not my last fight.
Yeah. So let's talk about UFC 400. No, I'm joking. Can I, because, like, listen, we all know, like, you've gotten records, you've broken records, you've set standards with your resume in the UFC. But again, there's been so much focus on being the one guy to fight at 100, 200, and now 300. Mm. Gabriel Benitez is the guy in front of you. You got him, you know, a little over a week now. Does it, I know the answer, I know what you're going to say, but I want to hear you say it. Does it change anything about the fight? Meaning, like, I know you're not going to play it safe. You're not going out there to say, I want to play it safe, get a decision, take him down, grind him out. I know that's not how you're built. You're going to go out there and have a Jim Miller fight. But like, how do you like? Do you just completely push it out of your mind? Like, hey, I'm gonna go balls to the wall, and if it ends up with me and it being a broken foot, and I don't fight at 300, it is what it is. That's the fight game. Because every next week when you arrive in Vegas, every media day, you know 90% of the questions are going to be about UFC 300. So, like, how do you push it out of your mind? How do you approach this fight knowing that, I mean, Dana White's already said it. Dana White said, of course we want to have Jim Miller on the UFC. So he's already acknowledged it, too.
I'm about to get locked into a cage with somebody that's going to want to take my head off. So for me, it's a pretty easy to focus on that. Like, I haven't even entertained any of the like, who do you want to fight, this and that. It's on the radar, right? But it's like, it's blipping, but it's off the screen, right? So like, I'm preparing for the 13th. I'm preparing for Benitez, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to fight my fight because, I have a set of standards that that I have for myself, and I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to make it a Jim Miller fight. And I want to come out from the fight excited with my performance. So I'm going to go out there and try to be as violent as possible and make it a tough fight and, make it one of my fights. It's cool to hear people talk about it, hear Dana mention it. You know, when Sean Shelby called me up to offer me this fight, he said, like, listen, it'll be a couple months and then you'll get 300, you know. So hearing him say that a few months ago was great. I have a fight in a week and a half, and that's the only thing that's been on my mind.
For all the ways everyone's going to talk about 300, wouldn't it be like disingenuous to be who you are if you didn't go out there and take this fight when they offered it to you? Because that's just who you've always been. As I joked with the name, with the Joe Silva thing, with the Jim effing Miller, like, if you didn't take this fight, said, no, let me sit, I want the monumental fight. I want the moment. I want to be the guy who's fought at UFC 100, 200, 300. That wouldn't be who you are, though, right? Like, if Sean Shelby calls you and said, hey, Jim, you want to fight January 3rd? He said, no, I want to wait 3 months. I think he dropped the phone and be like, who am I talking to right now? Did I call the right number? Like, that's just who you are, right? Like, isn't that, like, for all the all the ways we talk about this monumental event, it is. Obviously, we all want that for you, but that's who you are, right? Like, when they call you, you answer. And for you to do anything else it'd be disingenuous to the career you've built, right? If you actually said to them, no, I want to wait 3 months, that would be way out of character for you.
Exactly. Right. I'm just being true to myself and the legacy that I've built, for myself. If the opportunity to fight comes up, I take it. I like to fight. There was no even like thinking about it. It's like, I'll take it. That was about it, right? We're pretty short phone calls.
Yeah. I know you, again, this is stuff guys like me as the media sit around and do. You certainly don't do this when you're sitting around your house hanging out with your family. But I was, again, just because there is historical context when you fight, because of the record you put together, most fights, most wins, all those kind of things. I was deciding today, I was like, well, I'm talking to Jim Miller, want to do a little research. And I was just looking at this. I want to mention some names here. And I think you'll understand where I'm going here. But George St. Pierre, Dan Henderson, Michael Bisping, John Fitch, Mark Coleman, good friend of mine, Mark Coleman, legend, UFC heavyweight, former UFC heavyweight champion, Amanda Nunes, Brock Lesnar, Daniel Cormier, Anderson Silva, Jose Aldo. These are names that have occupied spots at UFC 100 and UFC 200. Mm-hmm. All gone in one form or fashion, either not in the UFC anymore or retired. Now, there are a couple of exceptions. John Jones is the one guy, at 100, who mm-hmm. is still around. Obviously, we know he's not going to fight at 300. And UFC 200, there's a couple more. Juliana Pena still around. Kelvin Gastelum still around. A couple other people. But again, even that event, which was 7 years ago, they're not, most guys have retired, moved on. I know you certainly don't sit around and think about this, because I know people bring it up to you all the time about how many fights you've had, how many wins you've had in the UFC. I know you're not sitting around with a bean counter at home being like, ooh, I've had this many wins and all that kind of stuff. But do you take appreciation, or can you sit back and appreciate the fact, like, because longevity is hard. Like, I don't know mm-hmm. the stats. I haven't sat there and researched it, but I'd imagine the average UFC career has got to be 2 years. I mean, a lot of people come in, have four fights, yeah. and they're gone. And that's a lot of fighters. Yeah. Do you appreciate the fact that you've been doing it as long as you have at this level? Like, you're not facing the opening guy, the opening guy on a card against some bum that doesn't deserve to be here, and they're just hoping to get you a win. Like, you're still competing against really good competition. You put together, recently, win streak, knockouts. You're still doing the thing at this level. I know you don't sit around thinking about it, but when you do take a moment and like sit there like, damn, that is pretty crazy that I'm still doing it at this level all these years later, when all those legends, guys who are absolute legends of the sport, have either called it a career or they're just not in the UFC anymore. It's wild when you think about it.
I mean, it's it hasn't been easy. I've tried to kind of like figure out how, right? And like how I've been able to hang around, because longevity, particularly in this sport, is not common. And you know, at first I was just like, luck and genetics, right? Like, yeah, I was just kind of born to be bounced around. And I've been lucky on more than a few occasions of not sustaining like really bad injuries, right? But there's also some design to it too, right? Like I know that my road is like nobody else's. I was ranked in the top 10 in the world and bitten by a tick that was carrying Lyme disease. And it fucked my world up. More than I've talked about, honestly. One of the symptoms, because there's a brain plaque that's associated with Lyme disease that looks exactly like freaking Alzheimer's. My memory from about 2015 through maybe early 2017, like there's times where my wife will bring something up, and there's nothing. There is nothing there. But then I can remember things, from 2010, 2008, 2006. We can go all the way back. But there's this like dark cloud of a little bit of time where things were just freaking really hard. It was really hard to train. I wasn't myself. But it also taught me a lot. In going through that, about like how to train through that type of stuff, how to deal with it. And I've been able to kind of figure out like, hey, I consider myself very coachable, and I opened my own gym in late 2014 because of some drama. And having my own spot and then really kind of figuring out how to train, and already having that voice in my head that's like, hey, push, go hard, right? I didn't need somebody out there telling me to do that type of stuff. But like when I'm in control of it and I know that I was dealing with stuff, like I've learned how to throttle myself when I need to be throttled. Like a lot of times my peers will go into a training sessions and they have these things happen, right? Like, oh, you tear your groin or you fuck something up, right? I guarantee you that they felt a little off that day. And, keeping up with everybody else in the mat, maybe it's sparring day, maybe it's hard grappling rounds day. You got somebody that cares about you and loves you and wants you to see you succeed, trying to push you, but they're not living in your body. They don't know what you're going through. And you're trying to live up to the standard that they're pushing on you, and something fails. And then fights fall through. And then, you know, then it's hard to come back from injuries, you know, and they add up. You know, and like, I learned how to kind of protect myself and pick the days where I go, well, today's a day I feel great, like we're going, you know. And today, some days it's like, hey, today's a day that I'm protecting myself and we're getting through the workout, we're going to try to learn some things, play with some new things, but not get injured, not get hurt, nothing, don't let anything stupid happen. And I think being able to make those decisions, being mature about it and realizing that, like, you know, especially now, I'm an old lightweight. I wasn't planning on fighting into my 40s. There, you know, like when I started fighting, there were no 40-year-old lightweights, you know, like, so I was like, at 34, we're good. Like, we'll call it. And yeah, like here we are. And it's been off of, like I said, a little bit of luck, a little bit of genetics, but also making the right decisions in training and being smart about when I push myself and what I do on certain days. And, you know, and also like not having that other, you know, that other input sometimes. Like it's you know, I'm the senior guy on the mat, which is, it's good and bad. Like it's bad because, you know, you want somebody to push you. You need somebody. Everybody needs that push. And I get my push. I get it. I have my coaches that, you know, get that out of me. But I also like am capable of calling the shots, you know, and like, hey, we're not 100% today, you know, and, you know, toning it back a little bit. So like, yeah, it's the longevity thing is cool, right? You know, like I aspired for a bit more when I got into this, but here we are, right? And it's like, you know, I'm 4-1 in my last five with four finishes, so it's like must be doing something right.
Yeah, I mean that's. Just competing at this level, like I said, man, I had a similar conversation years ago with Frank Mir when he was fighting. I think he was fighting in San Diego, and I was in San Diego talking to him, and I was kind of having a similar conversation at the time because he was kind of like one of those last guys that fought in like the UFC 20s and 30s who was still around at that point. And yeah, you know, he's like, listen, absolutely, like longevity is a big deal. And I know you've been asked some version of this question before, because again, I know you well enough to know like you're not a guy sitting around like waiting for the call to say, Jim, you're going in the UFC Hall of Fame. Like, we're putting you in the Hall of Fame. But I know you've heard the conversation. I know Daniel Cormier guys have had the conversation. Like, is Jim Miller a Hall of Famer? And I had this conversation with Matt Brown on the podcast last year around one of your fights. And he said, not only is like, obviously you've set records for fights and wins, but he's like, longevity is absolutely a mark of success because you do not, like, the UFC does not suffer fools. Like, they're not going to keep you around if you're not worthy of being there. Now, you know, did maybe BJ Penn get a couple more shots than maybe he probably should have been in there? Maybe because he had built up that reputation, he's a legend, things like that. You could maybe argue a little bit recently with Tony Ferguson, like, seven losses in a row, that's very rare, not going to happen. But again, he built up that goodwill through all the other things he did. But you know as well as I do, Jim, if you were losing fights, you were having bad performances, one of them, even as tenured as you are, Dana or somebody's going to reach out and say, Jim, man, we love you, but, you know, it's time. Like, you know, it's time. I'm curious, like, do you care, like in the long run, this is my long-winded way of getting around the question, like, do you believe, like, when it's all said and done, like, would something like the UFC Hall of Fame mean something to you? Like, I know you wanted to be a champion, and we talked about that many, many times. You were close, very close a couple times. I don't know that, like, you're sitting here saying to me right now, I'm going to go on a run for a title at 40. Like, I understand you're probably not saying that to me right now. But would something like the UFC Hall of Fame mean a lot to you? Because not only do you have those records, but I 100% believe the career you put together in terms of being here this long and still being relevant at this stage, you're not at a point where I'm saying, Jim, man, I love you, but maybe this should be the last one. Like, maybe you should. No, you're still performing at an incredibly high level. Do you feel like, is that something that would mean a lot to you in terms of like putting an exclamation point in your career when it's all said and done?
It would. Yeah. You know, and like, it's messed up for me to even say this, right? Like I feel messed up saying it, but, you know, like what I've done might be more impressive than just winning a title. Cause there have been fighters that, they got a title shot off of whatever, you know, the Ultimate Fighter show or this or that. And it's like, they had an opportunity, you know, I mean, I was 9-1 in the UFC. And at that time, nobody went on a 7-fight win streak and didn't get the opportunity. And it was because of timing and rematches at, you know, for the title, you had two sets of rematches and you had injuries and things got drug out. And, you know, like there have been some fighters that won it, that, you know, they were kind of gifted an opportunity. But like, obviously there are plenty that didn't, you know, there are plenty that, you know, fought through the trenches and earned their opportunity and then went out to, you know, defend the title and stuff like that. I'm not comparing, well, you know, 42 fights, 43 fights to that. Yeah, like longevity, it hasn't been easy, you know, like, cause I, like you said, the reason that I am still here is because of the way that I fight. It's not because of things I say at press conferences. It is only because of the way that I step into the octagon and fight. And you know, like, yeah, you could be cut for any reason. One loss, people have been cut off after wins because they do stupid stuff. So to be around this long and to have shared the octagon with the list of guys that I have, it'll be an honor if I do get that opportunity to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, we can list off the amount of people who have been UFC champions who never got remotely close to the record you said. Never had to. Yeah. I mean, I know guys who would probably give. I don't want to name names or anything. I guarantee there's guys I could talk to right now who would say I'd give back that title to have another year in the sport or 2 years in the sport or to still be fighting at 40. Because it's not easy. This is such an incredibly hard game. And you had it robbed away from you for a couple of years there with the Lyme disease. I imagine that plays a small part in, like, right now why you appreciate why you said, you know, when I originally said I'd retire at UFC 300, now I feel pretty good. I'm on a good streak. Like, I'm not going to retire at UFC 300 because this, in a way, is almost making up for lost time, and you're still competing at a high level. Yeah, and I'm just being honest. Like I said, the UFC might love you, but, you know, if you were not fighting at a high level, they would still say, you know, see ya. Like, that's just the reality of the business. And I get it. Like, that's a business. Mm-hmm. I understand it. You know, if you hired someone to fix the roof of your house and they fell through the roof, you probably wouldn't hire them again. Like, that's the reality of it. So, you know, like I said, like, you know, but that longevity is absolutely a moniker of success. And you're not done. So I don't know what the final record's going to be, but You set a standard for the amount of fights and the amount of wins that, man, that's going to be hard to top. And then there's a couple of guys that are like, I know Andre Arlovsky's still out there, maybe close, but, like, you know, I don't know that he's older even too, you know what I mean? So I don't know how much more time he has, but you're setting a record that's going to be pretty freaking hard to top. Like, it's going to be real hard in this day and age. With, you know, I mean, I talk to guys all the time. Like, I just talked to Brad Tavares earlier today. He's been around forever. He last fought in August. He's just now fighting in February. Guys wait 6-8 months to fight now. Like, you're not fighting every 3 months, taking, you know. So you're setting a standard that may never be set again. Like, that's pretty remarkable that when it's all said and done, like, for someone to get 20 fights in the UFC is pretty ridiculous now. To do what you've done is insane.
Oh, yeah. You know, and like that, the group of fighters that have 20 wins in the UFC, like when I, you know, earned my way into that group, it's like, man, like now you're, this is just a group of studs. like I get to get associated with these guys for the rest of my life. This is awesome. You know? So, yeah, it means a lot to me, you know, what you're saying. Yeah. I'm just doing what I do. Right. Like I fight the way that I fight. It's not something that like I'm super like hung up on, oh, I need to have this many fights. Like, it was never a goal, you know, like that was never part of it. And it's still not part of it. I want to get as many fights as I can, and keep fighting, 'cause I love doing it. I love the training. I love fight week. I love stepping into the octagon. You know, and I get to fight because there aren't a lot of guys that are 40 years old that can get that opportunity and have earned that opportunity. And there are plenty that, you know, like you said, had to call it quits a lot sooner. So like I am super appreciative and, it's funny, like the way that I approach like the warm up for a fight and stuff like that nowadays, you know, when I was coming up, you know, on the local circuit and then first bunch of fights in the UFC, like I would get so like, I would just get myself fired up, you know, like I didn't need to hear cliche, you know, stuff from my corner and this and that, but like, I would just get intense because of the level of the unknown. I don't know if fear is the right word, right? Like I think of the things that I fear and I get a different feeling, right? Like, and it's not spiders. Like, you know, it's like what scares me is like something happening to one of my kids and not acting and not preventing it, right? Because I hesitate. Right. Because I'm afraid of the situation that scares the shit out of me. That's not the same feeling that I get, you know, or was getting when I was warming up for fights. But nowadays it's just like, man, I'm like fighting back smiles. like I'm in the back warming up and it's like, man, this is cool. And then, you know, like I see some of the other guys warming up and you're like, we don't have to be so serious about it. Like, you know, like it's things have changed, you know, and my approach has changed. And I love being here. And, you know, and there's definitely parts of me that are going to love not having to kick the shit out of myself, you know, for 6-8 weeks and not having to, you know, get punched in the face and cut and, you know, have the inside of your mouth all busted up and, you know, the bruises and this and that, or the other injuries that come with fights. But, yeah, like I'm going to cherish every opportunity that I get, until it's the last one. You know, I'm excited for that last one. I'm excited to know that like, okay, this is going to be it, you know? So, yeah, like I'm just glad to keep fighting.
Yeah. Do you think you will define it though when it's all said and done? And what I mean by that is this is something I know Joe Lowe's on, a guy of course you're familiar with and have fought. Joe has said and told me very honestly, he's like, I'll probably never retire. Like, I may never fight again, but I may never retire. Like, he's just like, if the UFC calls me and there's an offer and I like the fight, I'll take it, but I may never fight again. Matt Brown has kind of said something similar. Like, he had once upon a time declared a retirement. That also circled, he was going through a divorce at the time, so he's very open and honest about why it happened. But like, now he's kind of like, I may just, you know, kind of fade into the sunset, just not take a fight again. Do you feel like you will define that one day? Like, you will actually use the word retirement, or is there a chance we just, you know, where's Jim Miller? He hasn't fought in 6 months. Oh, you know, maybe I'll fight again. Maybe I won't. Is there, or do you feel like you need to, like, at some point you'll need to put that stamp down to say I'm done?
I get excited about knowing that a fight will be my last one, that there is nothing after that. Like, that's like, I don't know. So it's like, there's nothing left to hold back for, you know? I'm going to have to define it. And it might just be from fighting in the UFC, you know, like, or MMA. You know, I'll obviously still be training and maybe I'll take up some of the offers that I get to compete in jiu-jitsu and stuff like that, or who knows, there's lots of guys making money in boxing, so you know, like, who knows, but I will define it. I will have that last, you know, that last fight, and I want to know going into it. And obviously, right, things can happen. And if something happens in a fight that I feel like, well, we're not coming back from this anytime soon, I might have to do it right there. But I'm not the type that makes emotional decisions. So, yeah, I want to know ahead of time. I'd like everybody to know ahead of time. And yeah, just go out and have fun and put on a show, and hopefully go out on what will be remembered as a quintessential Jim Miller fight.
Yeah, it probably it might be weird to hear me say this, because obviously at the end of the day, man, I want you to go out on your terms, whatever those terms may be. But I'm weirdly happy that you're not retiring UFC 300, because the performance you've been putting on right now, and obviously you got Gabriel Benitez in a matter of days, and he's a super tough guy, game opponent, you know, big swinger, you know, he's going to come out there and it's going to be a great fight. But there's a part of me, after seeing your last few performances, I'm kind of like, you know what? I'm glad you're not retiring UFC 300, because there's still more Jim Miller that I think we all deserve to see. I want you to get the fight at 300. Absolutely still want you to have that historic fight and be able to say that. But in a weird way, I'm glad you're not, because you're the level you've been performing at, 23-second knockout in your last fight, like, you're far from done. Now, you know, maybe, again, freaky things happen in this sport. I always talk about, like, how weird this sport is. I always remember TJ Grant. You know, TJ Grant was number two lightweight in the world, ready for a title shot, gets caught with an errant heel in a jiu-jitsu session, never fought again, you know? So that's how freaky this sport is. But there's part of me sitting here thinking right now, like, I'm weirdly glad you're not retiring at 300. I'm like, the level you're performing at right now, we got some more Jim Miller fights to see.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing is, like, I know what I'm capable of on, you know, on my best days, and when I'm on my best, when I'm at my best and, you know, firing on all cylinders, I'm a fight for anybody. And I'm confident that I could beat anybody if I can get them to fight my style of fight. It's when all those bad days get, when there's too many of those and I can't make it through camp, right? Or that level of where I can compete drops to the point where it's like, hey, even at my best, I'm not competing with the best guys. That's when I will be forced, you know, I'll force myself to make that call. But I would prefer that it happens before that. I would prefer to be still like, hey, we're on a good run, and yeah, okay, let's just call it and, you know, move on to something else. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be really, really hard to do that. But yeah, like, that would be the way to do it. If I could script it.
Yeah. Well, this one, like I said, this is a great matchup. And as soon as it got announced, I think I even said it on Twitter, I was like, Jim told me months ago, like, there was never a plan to sit out and wait for 300. Mm-hmm. Like, it was always about fighting. And I think at the time, even right after the knockout, you had said, you know, by the end of the year, obviously it didn't happen. This is early in the year. I know you're expecting the absolute best out of Gabriel Benitez. This is another kind of show stealer, mm-hmm. but I'm sure it's going to go out there. It's going to be a Jim Miller fight. And then we can reconvene in this spot about 2 weeks from now after another win. And then we can talk about opponents and timing and UFC 300 again.
Exactly.
I'm not going to mention it right now, but we'll just plan like 2 weeks from now. We'll come back here and talk about that because then we could really talk about it. Even though I know you're going to get bombarded with those questions next week. We'll talk about that again. But, dude, Gabriel Benitez, super tough guy, man. This guy's kind of like a go big or go home kind of guy. I know you love those style of fights, and like I said, man, I'm sure you're just excited to go there and throw down with this guy.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, he is aggressive. He's dangerous. And I like that. I like the fights where you know, somebody's gonna come after me. I excel in that. That's where I do my best things. Is you know, in the fray, you know, and while I'm in the chaotic parts of a fight, that's where I pull out my best stuff. So I'm looking forward to a fight like that where it's we go out and we bang each other up, and if I get my opportunities, I feel like I'll have a good grappling advantage. But you know, he's been knocked out a couple times too. So like if something lands, you know, and that's one of those maturity things is like, I finally, after like well over a decade and a half of fighting was like, hey, it only takes one, you know, it finally dawned on me. Right. So, I like the fight. I know that, the longer he stays in there, the more sore I'm going to be the next day, because he is a banger. You know, he swings hard, he kicks a lot. It's an exciting matchup for me, and I really can't wait.
You came into the sport as being known as a wrestler and a grappler, and of course I know you still pride mm-hmm. yourself on that. But you got a lot of knockouts lately, Jim. Like I said, it may not be a bad mm-hmm. idea to have another knockout on the record. So, like I said, it's funny. Again, you continue to evolve. I think that also says a lot about your longevity mm-hmm. in the game, is that you've never stayed stagnant. You do see some guys who just have a style and they never go away from that, and eventually people it catches up to them. You've continued to evolve. You've added new layers to your game. You've added new weapons to your game. Like I said, you came in as a grappler and wrestler. Everyone knew you as a grappler and wrestler. Now you're knocking people out. So, like I said, you can always. There's a lot of wrinkles you can still throw at Gabriel Benitez too.
Yeah, you know, and it's somebody was asking me about how are you knocking everybody out lately? Like what? And they were doing it in kind of a condescending way, alluding to some, you know, maybe some performance enhancers or something like that. You know, and I was like, that's a son of a bitch, you know? And it's like, I'm like, well, I mean, I am knocking people out. And it's like, you know what happened is I learned how to tighten my body up when I land a strike, and I was forced to, because I banged my shoulder up a couple years ago. And so then now on the pads, in order to hit the pads, I have to tighten everything down when I hit the pads. Otherwise it hurts. So I learned how to be one of those guys that can have that stiffness when you make contact because I screwed my shoulder up. So, you know, it's like if you stick around long enough and you use your brain, you know, you can sometimes adapt to stuff, you know, it's like, right. The it's not the strongest who survives, it's the most adaptable to change. So my body's been changing, so I adapted to it, and turns out now I can knock people out.
Hey, I think the only performance enhancers you're taking is the deer meat or whatever it is you killed last week
right.
eating for dinner. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
That's the only performance enhancers in Jim Miller's curriculum is whatever animal you killed recently, that's what you're eating.
You know it. Yeah. It pissed me off. I was like, you son of a bitch. Like, what the hell are you? You know? So I was like, you know, like, no, it started like actually like connecting when I made that decision. Like, hey, I only need to land one punch, right? I only need to land one submission. And then I started to like harden my body, right? As I made contact, because I was always a lot looser. So, turns out, you know, like it works.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jim, I love this fight. I think this is a fun matchup. I do wish it was in front of a crowd, selfishly, but you know, that's the sport. We all understand how that goes. But like I said, go out January 13th, get the win. I'll text you the next day. We'll plan on another interview post fight, and then we can talk about what comes next. 300 opponents. I can start pitching ideas to you as I always do, and we'll do that. But obviously, man, best of luck in the fight next week. I appreciate the time as always. You know, can't wait to see you back and perform, man. It's always a pleasure and honor to watch you perform, do your thing. And like I said, let's reconvene in about 2 weeks and we'll talk about what comes next. We know what's next, but we'll actually talk about what's next.
All right. All right. Sounds good, buddy.
All right, Jim. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me.
Media Podcast Network.